Morning. It was kind of weak. Good morning. Well, that's better. It's really good to see you. It's great to be together with saints so we can worship and praise God and honor Him as He would have us to. This morning, we're going to look at the subject of baptism. We're going to look and see what is said about it in the New Testament. And I guess the bottom line, hopefully we'll answer the question, is it required for salvation? So to begin with, when you look at the word baptize, if you were to look at it in a modern dictionary, what it would say is it would say to dip or to plunge or to immerse. That's all a part of the one definition. But if you continue down in everything that is said about that word, it will tell you the derivation of the word. And they will say that it is from a word, baptizo, which means to immerse or to dip or to plunge. It will also say, and the first part of it, it would talk about sprinkling and about pouring. This is a word that was used by the Greeks to describe things like doing dishes, where you would take a dish and you would plunge it all the way under the water, or you would dip it all the way under the water. Now, and there was no problem about them understanding is the way that you would take dishes and clean dishes is you would take a little bit of water and then sprinkle it on the dish. It wouldn't clean it. It wouldn't work. That's not what the word means. But yet in our culture, it seems as though that's what people point to. But if you look at the word itself, it means to immerse or to dip or to plunge. And when we talk about the subjects of baptism, you look at the Greeks and you look at Jewish people, and one of the things that Jews were able to do because of their relationship with God or the relationship that they should have, that they would end up moving laterally in understanding what God would have them to do. Greeks, on the other hand, or Gentiles, they would come from a totally different perspective. A perspective that sometimes we would call heathen, or those that were outside of any knowledge and relationship with God, any personal relationship. So there was a different approach. That means a different way of looking at some things. But if you look at Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, one of the things that Paul talks about is the faith that his mother and his grandmother had. And he said, and I trust is in you also. You see, his father was a Greek, but his mother was a Jew. And so they would come to the table from different perspectives. But what Timothy did was he took the teachings of his mother and his grandmother about God and about the Holy Scriptures to heart. And he became a child of God. And he became an evangelist that first traveled with Paul and then was left at Ephesus to teach those that were there. So if you look at Mark 16 and verse 16, one of the things about baptism is that it saves. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's a connection between salvation and baptism. Or in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, baptism is connected with with repentance and the remission of sins. That happens through baptism. And we're going to look at the passages in the New Testament that deal with baptism. To begin with, it was a command from Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, it says this. Jesus came up and he spoke to them, his disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He said that was a part of becoming a disciple. Teach all men. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not in the name of anything else or anyone else, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, still a command from Jesus. And he said to them, that is, Jesus said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Then he says, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. So baptism and the teaching about baptism is a part of the gospel that was preached to all creation. It is connected with a person's belief or a person's faith. That he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. So it is connected with salvation. And we must understand that. That it is through this way that God chose. Now keep in mind, baptism is something that God decided about and that God chose that His disciples would experience and would go through in order to be in the right relationship with Him. What did Peter say about it? Remember in Acts chapter 2, in Peter's sermon, he finishes the sermon after he had talked to them about who Jesus was and what they had done to Jesus. That they had killed the Lord of glory. They had crucified Him. And then their reaction was, they said, and now when they heard this, they were pierced in their heart. Some versions say were pricked in their heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Now that they realize and that they know what they have done to the Messiah, they're saying, What do we do? How do we fix this problem? And so Peter said to them, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all, Jew and Gentile, all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself. And with many other words, he did solemnly testify, and he kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this wicked and perverse generation. So then those who had received the word and unbelieved, they were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. The evidence of their belief is stated in a way that they were pricked in their heart or pierced to the heart. They believed. They got it. They understood what Peter was saying. They wanted repentance and forgiveness. They wanted to be right with God. And so they listened to what Peter said. And as many as received his word, they were baptized, immersed. So what did Philip say in Acts chapter 8? But when they believed, remember Philip had gone, was down in Samaria preaching, and they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were being baptized, men and women alike. This baptism then is connected with the kingdom and with being a part of the kingdom. And then in verse 13 it said, and even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip as he observed signs and great miracles taking place. And he was constantly amazed. He believed. It touched his heart. He was baptized. He wanted to be right with God. And then there's the relationship that existed between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So you remember the eunuch was traveling along and he was reading. And Philip asked him, so what are you reading? He said he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And he asked the question, said, who is he talking about? here. And so he began to talk to him. The scriptures say he preached Jesus to him in verse 35. And verse 36 says, "And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all of your heart, you may.' And he answered and he said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. They both went down into the water, and he was baptized. Because of his faith that he had, he believed. He said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" So it is connected with the gospel. It is connected with prophecy. It is connected with Jesus. It is connected to being obedient to what it is that Jesus has said and what he commands us to do. What about Paul and his conversion? Well, as you remember, he was blind after his encounter on the road. And after a while, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he arose, and he was baptized. He had an encounter with the Lord. And he was baptized. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus said over in Matthew. So the Apostle Paul was speaking from a vantage point of having been obedient to the vision that he had. And that he was indeed baptized into Jesus Christ. Well, what about Cornelius over in Acts chapter 10? A Gentile who was mindful of others, who gave alms to the poor. He was a devout man. He was a person that we might say that this is a really a good man. You know, surely he's right with God. But he too, in order to be in a right relationship with God, he too had to be baptized. In verse 44, it says, "While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message, that is to Cornelius and his household. And all of the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. And they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And Peter said, and that surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few days." Cornelius and his household, they too were baptized for salvation, for the remission of sins, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then what about Lydia? This great lady says that on the Sabbath day, "We went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." She was baptized. Her heart was receptive to the truth. We too must have a heart that is open to the Lord. A heart that is receptive to everything the Lord has said. We cannot afford to take the attitude about baptism that Naaman took about being cleansed from his leprosy. One of the things that Naaman said when he was told to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan, he said, "But I thought." We can't afford to think that. This is God's way. This is what God chose as the way to salvation and redemption. It is through Jesus Christ. The cleansing comes from being obedient to Jesus in all things, and it includes baptism. Then there's the Philippian jailer over in Acts chapter 16. Remember, Paul and Silas were in prison here, and they were singing and praying, and the prisoners all heard, the jailer heard, and when the doors were open, the jailer was going to kill himself. Because he knew that that was going to be the fate if these prisoners just escaped. And they told him, he said, "Don't do that. Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And in verse 30 says, "And after he brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household.' And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and his household." Now notice he said that he, and immediately they were. They did not wait for baptismal Sunday to come along and for a whole bunch of people to do it. He said immediately they were baptized. Because they understood the import of what was happening. They were lost. The only way to be found is to be right with God. And so he said, "What must I do in order to be saved?" Faith was the bottom line, which leads to baptism for the remission of sins. Then there's the Ephesians 12. You remember where, when Paul goes to Ephesus, and there were some disciples that were there. And Paul, he said to them, he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." So they were ignorant of that. And so he said to them, Paul said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said to him, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said to them, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, one of the things that you see in this instance is they did not dig their heels in and say, "But I've been baptized. I don't need to be baptized again." But they heard what Paul told them. And by believing the facts of what Paul said, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, their heart was opened and they were receptive to the truth and to what must be done. Because salvation was important to them. Just like it's important to us. Now in Romans chapter 6. Remember, Paul talks about sin in Romans chapter 5. And in verse 1 it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase or may abound?" In other words, more grace, more sin, because I want more grace, so I sin more. He says, "May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" So you can't do that. Verse 3 says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death?" Into Christ Jesus. Into His death. Death comes first. Verse 4, "Therefore, we have been buried." You see, you have to die first before you can be buried. "Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." This makes the connection between the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The death of our past life, the burial of everything, and the being raised into walk in newness of life out of the watery grave of baptism. The Romans were baptized. They believed. And Paul helped make the connection and was reminding them of their relationship with the Lord and what they had done and what it meant. And then in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, says, "For in Him," that is in Jesus, "all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." All the fullness of deity in bodily form. "And in Him," that is in Jesus, "you have been made complete." He, that is Jesus, is the head over all rule and authority. Remember, He said, "All authority has been given unto Me in heaven and on earth." He's reminding the Colossians of that. Verse 11, "And in Him," that is Jesus, "you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." It is a circumcision of the heart. "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." The Colossians had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. They too. And Paul is reminding them about what this step that they took in order to be baptized, in order to be saved, what it means. They needed to be reminded just like we need to be reminded about what we have done and what Jesus has done for us. What about the Galatians? Verse 26. Galatians 3, beginning in verse 26, says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." It's interesting that all the way throughout time, that the cornerstone of our relationship with God always has to do with faith. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, you see how important faith is and how important it is for us to act. He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So the Colossians, they were baptized. He said, "Then there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond, nor slave, nor free man. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." All. "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." They too were baptized into Jesus Christ. Heirs according to the promise. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. "To those who were called aliens that were living in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia." This is what Peter said to them. He said, "God kept waiting." And this is the patience of God. "Kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few," that is eight souls, "eight persons were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, he says, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so what saves you? Baptism. Baptism saves you. Just like Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter is writing to them to stir them to remembrance. And he reminds them about what baptism has done and God's work of salvation. Then there are the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 13. His question to them is, has Christ been divided? They were having a difficulty dealing with each other. And there was a division that existed. He said, Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Of course, the answer is no, he wasn't. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, they weren't. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, and that no man should say you were baptized in my name. It is to be in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. In other words, he came to them preaching the gospel. A part of the gospel is baptism. He didn't come to them just to dip them or just to plunge them, but to teach them the gospel so that they would understand the meaning of baptism. So they would understand the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. We make a mistake sometimes. Down through the years, sometimes we are too proud of who it is that baptized us. I remember listening to people talk about men that had come through with gospel meetings, and it was almost like a badge that they were wearing, that John Smith baptized me. And that's not the point. John Smith was not crucified for you. Jesus Christ was. It's the point Paul is trying to make to them. But they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, Paul says there's one body, one spirit, just also you were as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the baptism that deals with belief and faith in Jesus Christ. One. Not many, but one. Not a baptism into a denomination, but a baptism into Jesus Christ. There is only one. And when Paul says one, he means one. It's what the New Testament is telling us about how important baptism is. So from these passages about baptism, what have we learned? What have we learned? Well, I guess the first question would be, or the first statement that we started out with, that it was required for salvation. All of these instances of conversion involve baptism. So to answer the question, is it required? Yes. If you are to have your sins forgiven, if you are to be saved, if you are to be in a right relationship with God, yes. It is. This one baptism that Paul talks about in Ephesians. No, we understand from these passages that no one was baptized for anyone else. It is an individual thing. It's a choice that I must make. Baptism is for sinners, individuals who know what sin is and who have committed sin against God. Consequently, that would leave children out. Babies are not sinners. They cannot choose. They don't know what sin is. They have not committed sin against God. So, We understand it is for sinners. And it is for people who have come to the recognition that they are sinners. Baptism cleanses us from that. We learn from these passages that baptism is not sprinkling or pouring. It is immersion. Baptism is a command from God that is to be obeyed for salvation and forgiveness of sins. In other words, a person must know that is a command from God, must know and understand about sin. And baptism, based upon our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin. What a marvelous thing God has done. And this is God's choice about how to do it. It's not something that man has dreamed up. It is something that God has said. We understand that baptism is indeed a necessary part of salvation. We understand that baptism is the point at which God's grace and my faith meet. That is the place that God chose, that grace and faith come together. It's not something that I have chosen or some dogma has chosen, but it's what God has chosen. Baptism, we learn from these passages that baptism is not a demonstration of an outward sign of an inward grace. That's not what it is. It is the point at which my sins are forgiven and I am saved. I am not saved prior to, but I am saved when I am baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, when I am immersed. And isn't it a great thing that God has chosen a way that we can be right with Him, and that we can come to Him, and that He will hear us, and that we have a way to be right with Him, both now and on through eternity. After looking at these passages, we have to come to the conclusion that about how important baptism is. And come to the conclusion that it is by the Holy Spirit that all of this has been revealed to us. So how can we ignore it? If you're in the audience this morning and you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ, and yet you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have an opportunity to act upon that faith. As Peter said, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We can help you. And we urge you to think about that. Think about your relationship with God. Or as a child of God, one of the great blessings we have in Christ is that we can go to Him in prayer as His child and have our sins forgiven. God will hear. He hears the prayers of those who are righteous and right with Him. So whatever your need, we are here to help you. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?